Hello, my name's Kate Rowles and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork, One and Other. The date today is the 29th of July 2009 and the time is 4:30 a.m. If I can please ask you to say your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
My full name is Joseph Frederick Charles Blore. I was born the 9th of June 1975. I was born in Audlem in Cheshire in the UK, but I now live in London.
Fabulous. And how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, up all night because of the time. But yeah, no, feeling good. I had a good day at work, and yeah, this is a nice start to the day.
What do you do for a living? What's your work?
I do a variety of things. For the last 2.5-3 months I've been working with an art collective called the Treehouse Gallery, and which is a project which is now open in Regent's Park, which is a volunteer development which has produced a set of treehouses next to the boating lake, and I'm currently in charge of finishing the disabled access lift, which is made out of timber and will be human powered to reach a platform within the set of trees there. Apart from that, I do quite a lot of different things. Most of the money that I've made over the last 10 years has been through producing computer generated images for architects for planning and marketing. I've worked for a variety of different companies and worked for myself. Currently I have a limited company, and alongside that I do various design competitions, small design projects. I'm currently developing skills in green woodworking, using fresh timber to create anything from wooden spoons through kitchen utensils, bowls, to furniture. I studied architecture, but I'm not a fully qualified architect yet, but I have an interest in sustainable design, have done courses on straw bale building, and various other things sort of to do within the design sort of world. So.
Wow. Brilliant, that sounds great. I'm intrigued by the Treehouse Gallery.
Okay, yeah, no, I mean it's started off as an idea which two girls had back in January. I've been involved, like I said, for about 3 months. Actually got involved because of the wooden spoons that I've made, and I've done some stop frame animation of those. But when they found out I'd studied architecture, they had an issue that the requirements from the planning permission require that they had disabled access. And that hadn't been addressed in the initial sort of architect's designs. So at the moment, yeah, I've spent the last month working in Regent's Park outside with a great team of people, and it opened on Friday, but it was following a thunderstorm, so first real full day was on Saturday. The guys there got woken up by a member of the public who had come into the site and was playing a piano which is located there. They have to have at least two people sort of stay on site for security. And yeah, it's open for 6 weeks until sort of to end of September. I was there all day today, working on the lift, and yeah, lots of people coming through the park, lots of people with kids. There was someone there who'd brought their 5-year-old for his birthday, so there were loads of kids dressed up as pirates and things running around. And it's, you know, it's been a really great project to be involved in. Mm. So, yeah.
Fantastic. If I can talk about the
yep.
now and ask you what it was that initially motivated you to apply to be on the plinth as part of One Another.
Well, I hadn't heard of the project, although I'm aware of Anthony Gormley's work and the fourth plinth as well, until the Monday, the 6th of July, when it actually opened. And my girlfriend regularly watches the sort of BBC morning news while getting ready for work. And I saw it. I was free that day, and I headed down because I produce stop frame animations and thought it would be an interesting project. So I cycled down. I got here probably about 9:30 to the sort of media furore, if that's a word, with lots of television crews and that sort of thing, and wandered around, found a spot just on basically on the opposite side of the square. And whilst I was there taking photographs, I got talking to a number of different people, one of which was one of the production team. And I had no idea how people were actually involved in it. I was quite surprised that I hadn't heard about it prior to that, because I am sort of involved in different art projects. But spoke to him, and he mentioned the fact that there was a website that you could register, but also that there was a sort of separate list which you were running, which was for stand-ins in case of people dropping out. And I live in London, so I ran to the back of the office after I'd finished taking my photographs, and filled out a form, and basically I registered a couple of days later, but I got a phone call, I think it was last week, asking if I could come as a stand-in, but I was busy with the tree houses. But then I got a call yesterday, and thought, okay, I'm not going to the fact that it might not happen again, so I said yes, and here I am. So, but in sort of other general terms, I was aware of the fourth plinth probably when the first set of artists were producing work. Probably most aware after the Rachel Reed project, because I've followed quite a lot of her work. And following that, I attended a debate or seminar, which was at the Royal Society for the Arts, regarding public art. And Anthony Gormley was actually there, and there was a discussion that went around the fourth plinth and how it could be used or what it would be used. And I mean, this was probably four or five years ago, back in 2004. And yeah, so I was aware of his interest in the project or the sort of place, and actually had a conversation with him in the gents' toilets following that debate. I'm not sure whether he remembers that, but yeah, that's a nice little anecdote to do with, you know, the sort of initial interest or sort of understanding about the plinth as a sort of place for public art.
Yeah.
So.
And then when you realised that you had got a place,
yep,
at this short notice,
yep,
how did you decide how to best use your hour?
Well, I had a few ideas. There were quite a lot of different, I guess, motivations for applying. It has been quite a rushed preparation, but I managed, I think, to get everything that I wanted to sort of include into my rucksack and my kit bag. There are a few things that are missing, namely a tuba, which was just too cumbersome to bring down today, but I was going to be playing Happy Birthday to a friend. Mm-hmm. And possibly a bicycle and a more significant music sound system than I will have. But I've watched, you know, some of the stuff on the website and have seen, you know, the microphones, that sort of thing. So I've written quite a long piece for the website which describes my history, and yeah, essentially I've got a bag of a variety of different things, and I'm planning to go up on the plinth and yeah, just sort of explore what I can do whilst I'm up there.
Okay, what do you think you will do?
Well, I have flag which I will be flying. Initially I will be dressed in what could be described as combat wear, but by the time I leave the plinth I'll be ready to hit the beach. So there will be a gradual costume change during the hour. I have my laptop, which will hopefully be able to provide some music. I will probably do some talking. I have a hula hoop, a demountable hula hoop, a frisbee, which I'm not sure whether they're going to allow me to take up, and various other bits and pieces that are connected to my work and my sort of design side of things. So, but essentially, you know, it's an hour. I think I've seen quite a few sort of people on the website, and one of the things my father said to me was just make sure you take enough things to keep you occupied, because a lot of the people he's seen just look, you know, lost or bored and sort of not knowing really what to do. So I sort of packed quite a few different things, and hopefully I'll be able to keep myself occupied.
Fantastic, I'm looking forward to watching. Okay. And can you tell me a little bit about your background, about your upbringing?
Yeah, I was born and grew up in rural Cheshire. My mother was a physics teacher at a local comprehensive school. My father worked as a materials engineer in the potteries. I have one older brother who's 2 years older. But yeah, grew up, had what I could only describe as an idyllic childhood, you know. Grew up surrounded by fields, trees. My parents lived five minutes away from a canal. I went to a very, very small county primary school, which had, whilst I was there, 40 pupils in total. And I think that was probably quite key in my early development, that rather than being in a class of a large number of students who are all the same age, the classes were split into two, so there was sort of 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds in one class, and then 8, 9, 10, 11 year olds. So there was definitely sort of very family orientated feel to the school. Following that, I attended a state comprehensive, worked hard, which I think was a work ethic that was instilled by my parents. Went on to do A levels at a local sixth form college, and then studied architecture in Edinburgh for 4 years. In the midst of that, I've studied in Finland for 3 months on an Erasmus exchange. I worked in New York for a summer. I worked in Singapore for 9 months and have travelled around quite a lot. Moved to London in 1999 to do my second degree in architecture, but didn't finish that. So that's one thing that is sort of still on the list of things to do before I'm 40. Fell into working, got a job to design a bar in southeast London with a friend, and then sort of my career has sort of slowly progressed in different ways and different branches since then. I currently live and work in between King's Cross and Angel. I live with my girlfriend, we're very happy. She is a Londoner, was born to Spanish parents who had moved over here. Her mother now lives on a small farm in Spain. And ultimately the idea for my work is to move from what are objects on a very small scale to the point where I can work on small buildings and sort of develop the architecture side of things a bit more. Mm. But plans for the future are to finish my studies, and that will probably be at the Centre for Alternative Technology in Wales, when I've saved up enough money to pay the fees. And yeah, I mean, for the last 10 years, I've been working in various capacities within the design world. And yeah, I try to be as, I guess, environmentally friendly, sustainable as possible. I haven't owned a car since I was 18. I cycle most places that I go to in London, use public transport when absolutely necessary, and for trains for longer journeys. And yeah, I think I'm trying to find what I would describe as an alternative existence to what might be termed a rat race or a very sort of hectic lifestyle. So with the Treehouse Gallery project, I've been cycling from home to Regent's Park along the Regent's Canal, which takes me 20 minutes, and I only have to cross one road to actually get there, which is a road that's within the park. So I sort of seek out, I guess, yeah, what you'd call a quieter pace of life, to one that would be sort of involved if you were commuting or, you know, sort of pounding the streets. I regularly visit, there's two woods up in Highgate, which I've developed some contacts with a view to sort of developing the green woodworking. I think that's probably where I am today, and hopefully, you know, if this goes well, I mean, one thing is I was made redundant from a job at the end of 2008, and whilst I do have my own company, I've actually only done 3 days paid work since the beginning of January, which is not a problem at the moment, but in a couple of months my savings will have depleted. But have found, you know, reward in working on, you know, alternative projects which give me satisfaction greater than the sort of financial reward that's necessarily associated with them, or not, as the case often is. So yeah.
No, fantastic. I think it's a brilliant use of your time, and it sounds like it's the work that you're doing is really developing your kind of you as a person and your interests.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I've always sort of seen that I've had quite a split between the work that I can do, which actually can be very well paid, but is primarily done for money, and then, but is normally working from the designs of other people to produce images for marketing or planning. And then the sort of other side, which is the creative side, which involves, you know, self-initiated projects, design competitions, that sort of thing. And the idea at the moment is to, I mean, whilst not necessarily minimising the amount of time that I spend working for money, is to try and sort of bring those two sort of sides of my work together, so that either, you know, I have a regular source of income which can be taken care of, or which can take care of the bills from a minimum amount of time to leave me time for the other work, or that the other work actually starts to provide some form of income, so that I can actually concentrate on that. But I think, as any sort of artist or designer will know, that's sort of not necessarily pie in the sky, but that's the sort of the end goal, that the work is actually something that you enjoy doing. And in that instance, I don't actually classify it as work, because it's, you know, it's simply far too enjoyable to sort of be seen in the same category as somebody who's working a 9-to-5 job. You know, occasionally I do have to work long hours, late nights, but that's, you know, predominantly a choice rather than a sort of an enforced overtime that might exist in another situation. So yeah, I mean, the idea now is I've got quite a few different projects lining up, including the renovation of the farmhouse in Spain. I've got a photography job for a friend in a couple of weeks' time. And then, yeah, the Treehouse Gallery is going to be developing during the course of the summer. I'm going to be running some spoon-making workshops, spoon-making demonstrations. I'm probably going to be making a couple of chairs to go into one of the treehouses. And, yeah, I think there's been a lot of interest in that side of things, although I haven't ever sold any spoons. Most of them have been made and then given away to friends as birthday presents or Christmas presents. But there is a sort of move to sort of identify something which has not necessarily a lot of time involved, although some do, but a sort of move to work within a very sustainable, low carbon, low impact way. And all the wood that I source is from local sources, from places that I've been to. I think with all the ones that I've made, I can actually tell you where the piece of wood came from, what sort of wood it is, and that sort of thing. As a subject, it's, you know, infinitely interesting, from identifying trees to knowing what uses different timbers have, to woodland management, you know, to the actual craft skills of making objects. And I think compared to a lot of the traditional craft-based people who've learned the sort of skills through either apprentices or that sort of thing. I've got a more design background, so a lot of the work that I make is sort of has a very streamlined aerodynamic nature, which doesn't really appear in the sort of traditional craft side of things. So I think that the sort of design education, the architectural education, has influenced that. And whilst I'm not necessarily going to take that up to a larger scale, at the moment, I think the sort of the pieces that I make have quite a lot of thought and conceptual ideas invested in them, whilst also being purely handmade, using no power tools. So,
Is there any in particular that you would really like to make that you've been thinking about?
My girlfriend wants me to make a love seat, and also some what are called Welsh love spoons, which sort of have very intricate detailing on. One of the objects that I do want to make is a replica or a copy of what was the first spoon I made, which I gave to my girlfriend, which sadly broke. So at the moment, that's probably number one on the list, because it was a nice, very small sort of wooden spoon for a sugar bowl, but the handle was too thin, and it accidentally snapped at one point. So I think that's probably the first on the list of things that I'm going to make next. And finishing the lift for the treehouse.
Yeah, you're actually going to make it?
I'm making it at the moment. Yeah, it's all been made from reused and reclaimed timber. It's all been sawn by hand. It's currently sitting in Regent's Park waiting for the sort of final assembly and detailing. And then I think on Thursday, if there's enough people on site, we'll be erecting the lift shaft. And then the lift car itself is essentially a sort of round wooden platform with quite a detailed marquetry pattern. Three main beams, which are made of green wood, which will link in the middle and form a sort of bell shape. And then there's three woven willow hurdles, which will form two sides, which will be fixed, and then a gate, which will be openable. But there's a lot of, all the pieces are there. It's just a matter of the sort of final assembly and then the erection. And then the testing of it, because I've never designed a timber disabled lift before or built one. And whilst it is a sort of requirement of the planning application, I think if everyone is satisfied, at least we've tried our best. So,
No, that's very impressive.
Okay, thank you.
How do you think your parents would describe you?
troublesome, probably, in a word. No, it's difficult to say. I would hope they're proud of me, of some of the achievements that I've done. For a long time, they're asking me, after I sort of dropped out of university, when I was going to go back and study. And I was busy working and sort of finding my way, and it was something that was at the back of my mind, and I knew I'd get back to. After about sort of 4 years, they stopped asking. But
And what does today you're going to be standing on the plinth?
Yes.
What does that mean to you?
I think it probably gives, hopefully, will give me a voice, which I think is probably not listened to particularly often, especially in these times. Not that I'm necessarily overtly political or planning on making sort of revolutionary statements or anything like that, but I think there's probably a lot that I may end up saying through this interview and whilst I'm on the plinth, which I hope people are interested in. I hope it, even if it simply makes one person think about the way they live their lives. I know from experience that living in a city can be very difficult, but it's also very wasteful. And working with the treehouse guys, who have a lot of different backgrounds, it's very easy. And just in your daily life, you can see the amount of waste, whether it's food, resources, energy, that happens within a city. And I think that whilst there is a sort of rural idyll of living on a farm in Spain, take care of yourself, you can be self-sufficient, actually the greatest challenges that we face today is making cities sustainable, so that they are healthy places to live, to bring up your children that are safe. And I think ultimately that is sort of one of the things. In terms of a sort of life ambition, I don't have any grand designs on, you know, becoming a famous architect, but I'd hope that some of the work that I do, and in the end, that I would leave the planet in a better condition than the way it seems to be going now, and the way that I sort of effectively found it. So, yeah.
Okay. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
That's okay. You're welcome.
Thank you.